Good morning. Well, we were blessed yesterday to get a little bit of rain, at least over there in my neighborhood, so hopefully we get a little more rain this coming week. The words in this chapter from John are portrayed not as Jesus' instructions to the community, but as Jesus' words offered to God in prayer. Jesus' words offered to God in prayer. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him." Jesus was praying on behalf of the Christian community. He wasn't advocating the unity of the church, for that would be seen as though the church could take care of itself. I've been ordained in ministry for now over 30 years, and I can guarantee you it is only by the grace of God that the church exists. If you think about all the different personalities that come to the church on all the different levels, if you think about all our backgrounds, all of our ideas, all the things that we want to put into the pot to make it church, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that church exists. Jesus was entrusting the future of the church into the hands of God, because he knew that the mission and ministry that he had begun here on earth would not exist unless God's hand would be in the midst of it. It doesn't matter whether it's a church, it doesn't matter it's a community outreach organization, or whether it's a charity. It is only by the grace of God that these things exist. The future of the faithful depends on our ability to be dependent on God's grace and care. Jesus prays for us. So often we may not think about that, but Jesus prays for us because we have to live in a world. We live in a world that is sinful. We live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that we need the grace of God each moment, each minute, each hour, and each day. So this farewell prayer is said not just a small band of family and followers, but this prayer is said for all of us. The good news here is that Jesus prays openly for us. He prays for our protection, our unity, so that we might be one as Jesus and God are one. So that we might be one, one with our Lord, one with each other, one in the Spirit, just as Jesus and God are one. Every day, our faith is challenged. It's challenged by a complex and sometimes hostile world. And our faith is under attack no matter where you look at it, whether it be on the news, whether it be in social media, whether it be in print media. Maybe it's even among your small friends. Our faith is under attack. We may shout out at times, "Life is not fair! Life is not fair!" And that's true. Very often, life is not fair. It's only fair to us when God is in the middle of the situation, in the middle of the event, so that we can remember that without forgiveness, there is no future. The ways of the world are forever influencing our choices. The ways of the world are so often influencing our beliefs. Nevertheless, Jesus is praying to God on our behalf. When it comes to matter of faith, we want God to respond to our needs immediately, Certainly I do. This is because we live in a society where everything is available for us at our fingers. Oh, we'll just go to Amazon and order it. Oh, I'll just Google it and find the answer. And we can get caught up in this need of quick satisfaction very easily. Unfortunately, faith at times does not work that way. One of the main attributes of being a person of faith is to have patience. So I want you to raise your hand. If you have a lot of patience, please raise your hand. I'm keeping mine down. I'm going to confess to you this morning. Wait. Wait, Jesus said. The life of Jesus tells us that not being in control is part of the human condition. Not being in control is part of the human condition. And part of the reason that we get so anxious, have a lot of anxiety when we're not in control, is because of our insecurities. Well, it needs to be done this way. This is the best way to do it. Oh no, it has to be done this way. This is the best way to do it. So we become anxious when we're not in control. And that's when we fully need to rely on God. Have patience. Wait for the Lord. Know that the Holy Spirit is with us, and it will come in due time. Jesus' vocation, Jesus' calling, and ours are fulfilled not just in action, but also in the Christian virtue and passion of waiting. His words to disciples were not unlike the words of that of the prophet Isaiah, who said to the Israelites while they were in the desert, wondering what was going to happen to them, in the desert complaining to one another, in the desert complaining to Moses, out there building golden calves, wanting answers instantaneously. Isaiah said this, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now the people that we have with us today that the Brotherhood will present checks to do today, their organization knows a lot about patience. Their organization knows that so often when things look dismal, when things don't look like it's the best, they have to wait and they have to call upon the Lord, and it takes a lot of patience. So the question I have for you today is, do we live with assurance? Do we live with assurance that God has us in God's protective care? Do we live every day with assurance that God has us in God's protective care? Jesus said this, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." There was once a young man who was beginning his spiritual journey in religious life. So he sought the counsel of a religious elder who was well-versed in spirituality and asked him what all he must do in order to live a disciplined religious life. The religious elder opened the book of Psalms and read the first verse of Psalm 39. "I said I will keep watch upon my ways so that I do not offend with my tongue." I said I will keep watch upon my ways so that I do not offend with my tongue. The young man said, "Stop. Stop right there." As the elder was about to proceed, the young man said, "When I have learned that, I will come and receive further instructions." And so he went away, the young man did, And about 6 months later, the elder, curious about his progress of the younger, sought him out and asked, "Are you ready to continue with other lessons?" The young man said, "No, not yet. I have not yet mastered the first." Another 5 years passed, and curiously, the elder again sought out the younger. This time, the young man replied, "I have no need for other lessons. For having learned the first rule, to master the tongue, I have gained discipline and control over my whole nature." We are one with God, and we are one with others when we know that God has us close to God and that Jesus our Lord is praying for us. We are one with God when we place our lives, our speech, our demeanor, and our actions into the hands of God for protective care. To be one with God also means we have eternal life. To be one with God, which is our goal, which is our journey and our quest each and every day as Christians, means we understand that we can live with the assurance that God cares about us. And when we know that God cares about us, our anxiety level, being anxious with one another, being anxious with our neighbor, subsides. Because we are no longer simply secure in ourselves, but we are secure in the Lord. Amen.